Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is continuing to work on us. You know, people say, well, this and that hasn't happened. Nobody's falling down or laughing or crying or... Listen, when you read the Word of God, sometimes there are passages in John, some of the greatest preaching in the world was done by Jesus. Chapter after chapter after chapter, from about chapter 9 through the next 5 chapters, Jesus preaches. Sermon on the Mount, one of the greatest messages. There are other parts of the Word where for 3 days He ministered to people. Doesn't say what He said, 3 days. Simply says, I've been here teaching these people for 3 days and now they're hungry. Where was the anointing? The anointing was on the feeding of the 5,000. There's another time Jesus was in the house and the power to heal was present. The anointing on that time was the healing. It wasn't what they were saying and it wasn't what they were doing. It was on the presence and the power of God in healing. So when God is moving, there are different anointings that will happen. This is a new time we're entering as a church. We must realize to recognize the anointing where it happened. The anointing was on healing this morning, inner healing. And it still is. God wants to bring inner healing to you. A lot of us walk around with wounds that we just put up with. God doesn't want wounds in us. He wants to heal us completely.
Amen.
God doesn't want wounds in our spirit, in our soul. Yeah. Took a little hiatus this week and took a vacation. Went was with my 2 brothers. One ugly and one younger than me. My older brother's ugly. I always tell him that, but he's really not. He still has hair. That's why I call him ugly. I was not convinced it's his real hair. I kept telling him it's a wig. I won't insult you and try to grab it, but it's a wig. I asked him where he got it so he could get me one. But I said that to say this because it's appropriate that I share this morning after what happened. We were talking about when we were coming up and how we all got saved. And he was telling me about a time when I was so high and so out of it that I literally beat him almost to a pulp trying to get out of the house. He was not going to let me leave the house because I wanted to commit suicide at the time. I wanted to run my car into the first ravine I could find. I have no recollection of it. I was so drugged out. And if you'd have probably been there, you'd probably said, this guy is going to end up dying somewhere. But God had a plan. God had a plan. And I asked him to forgive me for beating me up, and he did. Or beating him up, I'm sorry. And he did. And we rejoiced in the fact that we're serving Christ together. So I was riding with him 6 hours in the car over and 6 hours in the car back from my younger brothers, and we just had a glorious time. Had a glorious time. Real things happening in our families. But we're believing. Listen, it's time to believe for inner healing. It's a time to believe that our children and our grandchildren are going to serve God. Come on, somebody. I'm looking at some gray heads. Don't give up on your children and your grandchildren. They are going to serve God. They are going to serve. Come on, somebody. One, yeah. They are going to serve God. Three yeas and amens. Come on. They are going to serve God. Come on. All of them. All of them are going to be serving God. It was great healing for me to hear that. And my brother saved my life that night. It was great, 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 great to hear. I said, why'd you wait so long to tell me? He said, it never came up. He's not going around bragging about it. He laid down his life to save my life. Come on, somebody.
Yeah,
so whenever I got saved, the first place I went to was my brother's house. That brother, he wasn't yet saved, and I preached to him. And he threw me out of his house. Bodily. Grabbed me by the belt and the back of the neck and threw me through the front door. Broke the front door on his house. True story. And I forgave him of that too. I want to talk this morning just briefly. I won't keep you long. His manifest glory. I want to talk about His manifest glory, because when His glory comes, when God's presence comes, it not only changes the atmosphere around us, it changes the atmosphere within us. And nothing can stand against the glory and the manifest presence of God. Nothing. No memory, no addiction, no anger, no despondency, no regrets. Nothing can stand in the manifest presence of a holy God. Don't get discouraged by the different ways God is making Himself known to you. The anointing is different every time, but God is working on different parts of the body to get us ready for the reception of souls, to get us ready to understand and be sensitive to the moving of His Spirit, where His Spirit is moving. He has a purpose for anointing worship. He has a purpose for anointing the Word. He has a purpose for anointing testimonies. Because it's going to reach places that nothing else could reach. You could sing something from now to the cows come home and it never be touched. But one word from the Lord will change that forever. Many things can be mimicked, but you'll never mimic the presence of God. It's unmistakable when God invades the natural with His supernatural. Today we are asking for His manifest glory. Hearts need to be healed today. When His glory is seen, it changes everything. The natural is shifted away from the center, and His glory takes center stage where it belongs. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4 this morning. Those of us who have been walking with the Lord a long time understand that it takes our dying to manifest His glory. 2 Corinthians 4:10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. When God uses us, He uses us for His glory, not for ours. Anybody that takes the glory on themselves, their reward has been paid. All the accolades and the clapping and the backpacking and all of that stuff that happens. The back patting, I should say. I'll learn to talk when I get older. The only thing that counts is His manifest glory. He was manifested to do the works of the enemy harm, to destroy them. Make no mistake about it, God's ultimate goal is to make the works of the devil of no effect. A grave error has occurred in this day. We think that the manifest glory of God will get rid of the actions of the devil. The devil has already been defeated. But he will continue to attack because he's brainless. Devil doesn't have a brain in his head. He only knows to attack, deceive, and accuse. deceive and accuse. But Jesus Christ is the victor. God's purpose is to fill the earth with His knowledge. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Habakkuk 2:14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the water cover the sea. The knowledge of His glory is made manifest through yielding to His Spirit. The argument of logic will never defeat the reality of His presence. Well, God doesn't move in that way. What Brad and Jody don't know, that many people were touched deeply because of their testimony. Because we think that everything should be perfect in this perfect Christian world. It's not. Christianity is the messiest thing you'll ever get involved with. Come on, somebody. Christianity is the messiest thing. Because it brings to surface all the gunk and junk. True Christianity will stir things up to where everything begins to come to the surface. Why? For the purpose of His glory, so God can take it away. We're not hiding things anymore. We're bringing them to the surface. This is what's happening. God, touch me. God, heal me. God, deliver me. God, get rid of these things. God, beat the devil out of me. He loves chaos. Because then He can come and run the thing out. From Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, but the Holy Spirit brooded over the waters. He caused order to come out of chaos, not the other way around. In the storm in Galilee, I was just talking about Ricky to Ricky about this morning, the Galilee storm. Did you ever wonder why Jesus rebuked the storm before He did the disciples? When He was woken out of a deep sleep, why didn't He say, "You bunch of people without faith, what in the world are you doing? Don't worry about the storm. I'll take care of the storm." What did He do before He rebuked the disciples? He rebuked the storm. Let Jesus rebuke the storm in you before He deals with you. Because a lot of the things that were happening in them, the fears that were coming out of them, was because of the circumstances. What they couldn't see, what they couldn't develop in their head, is that Jesus knew that this was a time to deliver them. First He took their fear, and then He spoke to their faith. Let God take the fear from you. Let God take the fear of the unknown or the fear of the past or whatever is dealing with you. Let Him take it. Let Him heal it. And then He'll be able to speak to you. Sure, He wants to guide us and lead us out of terrible places. But He can't do it in a throng of attacks that is happening. We try to be good Christians and buck up and hide things. No, God doesn't want things hid. God wants things brought to the surface so He can take care of them. I don't know where we got this idea that we can be strong and put up with things. God never asked us to put up with anything except the attacks from the enemy. But God inside never asked us to put up with anything. He said, "Cast all your burdens on me. Cast all your burdens on me. Ask me anything and I'll do it that I might be glorified through the Father." To see the glory of God, we must submit to the God of glory. To see the glory of God, we must submit to the God of glory. Lesser things give glory to the greater, ever, not always, not the other way around. Hills give glory to mountains. Bushes give glories to trees. Planets give glory to the sun. Solar system gives glory to the galaxy. We give glory to God when we recognize His glory. The church is fueled by His glory. The greatest car in the world will be useless without the fuel to run it. The fuel is the glory of God. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14 says this, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of the Lord. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works." Anyone know what it says? You're all looking at me. What's it say? The power that works where? In us. This is not a sideshow. Watch God work through something else. The power of God work on the outside. He wants to work inside. The power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church. God's purpose and plan is to let us comprehend His love, His full manifestation is what we're looking for. But God, the God that we serve, doesn't work from the outside in. He works from the inside out. And that's neat when we talk about corporate dealing. But how about individually? Same thing that holds true corporately, He does individually. God wants to work in the deepest recesses of your heart. Okay, so you showed yourself. I wish I had medals to give everybody today. So you made it this far with all the problems that you grew up with. We start talking about it. Sometimes, especially us old guys, we'll sit around and talk about all the tough times we went through when we were kids. Saw my nieces and nephews while I was up there. I said, you know, we were talking about walking to school uphill both ways, you know. I was so poor I ate dirt, and I liked it, you know. So we all kind of like to brag about how we've made it through all the tough times. Stop bragging and let God heal. Amen. And realize that without Him, we're nothing. Amen. In my weakness is His strength. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That glory is going to be revealed in our day. The glory of God through us. But He can't do it to the degree that He wants to without getting all of us. Merely carrying Him on the outside won't do anything but cause people to be more religious. Everybody gets religious at one time or another. The politicians get religious when things don't go their way and a camera is stuck in front of them. Heard one the other day. Just they were quoting the word. I don't remember what scripture, but they were butchering it. But they were trying to stand on the word against our president, putting boundaries and not allowing everybody in here. Let Him reveal His glory. I'll close with this, these four points. Glory is revealed in miracles. Jesus made Himself known and manifested His glory at the wedding feast. says in John chapter 2 and verse 11, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Two keys are here. He manifested and the disciples believed. What did he do? He turned water into wine. In the Middle East at that time, running out of wine at a wedding feast was a shame. It was a shame on the family that would last for generations to come. When you put on a party, you better have the goods to back it. So Jesus manifested his glory. He turned the water to wine. He gave honor back to the host and took away their shame. The beginning of signs was taking away shame and bringing back honor. That's what God wants to do for you. You'll give him the glory, but he wants to take the shame away that you've been hiding and carrying. Oh, I've been brave, I've been strong, walk both ways, eat dirt, that kind of thing, brag on what you did. Listen, without God, you can't be anything. He already has seen it. And that doesn't mean you need to expose it to everybody, but you need to expose it. Stop trying to hide that thing. He wants to do some inner healing. And his glory is revealed in healing. John chapter 11, verse 4, where Lazarus was sick. And it says in verse 4, the sickness is not unto death, Jesus said, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. We don't know why Jesus waited 2 days until he went to Lazarus' side. He was already dead 4 days by the time he got there. Come on, someone. But his glory was revealed in healing. I gave testimony about being healed after many, many years. A couple people here today, this word is for you. You may have been standing a long time for healing, but could today be your day? I believe it is. I believe God wants to heal. His glory is not only revealed in healing, it's revealed in faith. Did I not say, Jesus said to Mary, Martha, when she was standing at the grave, he said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? The simple thing is to believe that God is going to take what's inside and change it because you ask him. God will never invade, but he will always pursue. God will never invade, but he'll always pursue. He's always right there saying, give it to me, 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 and I'll take it. God is so much more than we first imagine. He will not fit into your box. Stop trying. If you think you got God figured out, you better think again. God wants to do new things. The metric for the task that faces our generation is not us. It is the ability of God. We have some real problems in our generation, in our nation. God is able to meet and exceed every one and take care of it. How many know there's nothing too difficult for God? I look at some of these politicians and have doubts sometimes. I gotta admit it. Who's running the insane asylum? Crazy things are being said, done. Come on. Even publicly asking others to attack people. Publicly. We have our quote, parentheses, leaders saying to attack people. How many know how wrong that is? We are God's passion in Christ. He wants us to be free. We are an imperfect people that reflect a perfect God, but God wants to come in and heal our bodies, and heal our spirits, and heal our souls, and heal our minds. If God required perfection before he moved, nothing would ever happen. Amen. God's not looking for perfection in us. He is perfect. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." He moves through His people. Little boy was digging in his sandbox and discovered a huge rock in the middle of the sandbox. And so he dug till he loosened the stone. And once loosened, he pushed and shoved, even using his feet and his hands and trying to get rid of it to get it to the edge of the sandbox. The problems then began for the young boy. No matter how hard he tried, the stone kept rolling back into the sand. His dad was watching from the window and noticed that the little boy was so frustrated, he began to cry. So he went out to the sandbox and he asked, "Why didn't you use all of your power to remove the stone?" And the little boy said, "I did. I pushed with hands and feet only to fail." "No, son," his father answered, "you didn't call for me." With that said, the father moved the rock out of the sandbox. What's in your sandbox this morning you can't get rid of? You've built around it. You've tried to hide it. You've tried to cover it up. God wants to get a hold of it today. This whole morning started out with somebody crying out for help. We prayed for them. We don't have time for them to share this morning how many times they doubted. But they stood on that porch and looked down the lane knowing that their prodigal son was coming back. See, God is not impressed with our strength. Come on, somebody. God is not impressed with our strength. He doesn't come up and say, "Man, I'm glad you're strong. And you're showing forth some strength." No, what He wants us to do is let Him be strong in us. We're not strong without Him. We can do nothing. The strongest person that ever walked on this earth, listen to me, Jesus, when He came to this earth, was the strongest, undoubtedly the strongest man that ever lived. And He said, "Without the Father, I can do nothing." His glory was not in His strength. His strength came from His weakness. So God wants to tear that thing out. There are people that have been holding things, and it may, listen, that thing that you're holding on to may prevent your other healings. It may be preventing physical healings. Because you're holding on to the past, you're trying to hide something, or you're relying on something that has never gave you anything but trouble and headaches, it's time to get rid of it and lay it down. God wants to heal what's inside so He can work from the inside out so He receives the glory. Father, we pray this morning every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. We pray this morning, God, that this be a deliverance day. And God, people would realize that they do not have to hold on to these things anymore. They do not have to hold on to these things and deal with them and just suffer through with it. But God, You want to take it away from them. You want to heal their bodies and heal their hearts and heal their minds. God, we're broken people. But You are able to make every whit whole. We'll always have the warfare, God. We'll always have the enemy attacking, but we do not want to be weak anymore. We don't want him to come and pick things up that we've been covering for so long. Lord, we give them to You this morning. God, I pray for a great deliverance in people this morning. In my brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name.